بسم الله بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our 30th session reading from التوضيح والبيان لشجرة الإيمان. And we will be continuing with the third section of the book, which the author, rahimahullah, al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, mentions the fruits of Iman, ثمرات الإيمان وفوائد الإيمان, the benefits and fruits of Iman. Last week, we're going to just briefly look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the question and study guide number 29. The first question being, explain the author's statement, من ثمرات الإيمان حصول البشارة بكرامة الله. يعني from the fruits of Iman is the achievement or the attainment of البشارة بكرامة الله. What, يعني in summary, is the meaning of this statement, يعني from the fruits of Iman is حصول البشارة بكرامة الله. طيب البشارة, نعم, I'm sorry, I couldn't see you with my jacket here. البشارة,
we'll be giving glad tidings.
Glad tidings of honor, being honored by Allah. يعني البشارة means the person is informed of something that pleases them, that makes them happy. The glad tidings or the good news of the karama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah would honor them. يعني the good news that they would enter the Jannah, they will be saved from the hellfire, they will be forgiven their sins, and so on. Yani this is what is intended by this particular fruit from the fruits of Iman, al-bishara, that a person will be given the glad, the believers are given the glad tidings of Jannah and other yani things with which Allah honors those who believe and do good deeds. The second question, the author says, for them, yani for the believers, is al-bishara al-mutlaqa and al-muqayyada. البشارة المطلقة, the general or absolute, يعني good glad tidings, and المقيدة, يعني the restricted or specific glad tidings. Which kind of بشارة is indicated in this ayat, وبشر المؤمنين? Which kind of بشارة is indicated in the ayat, وبشر المؤمنين? Give glad tidings to the believers. Now,
The general glad tidings.
البشارة المطلقة. Yani, why do you say that? Yani, the question says, explain. Yani, why is it general and not specific?
Because Allah doesn't give any additional details to the glad tidings.
He doesn't specify any particular matter that this glad tidings is for any particular thing. So it's general. It's mutlaq. It's not, yani, restricted or specific. Naam. Question number three. Discuss the author's explanation of the benefit, or what is indicated in the expressing the bishara in this manner, and expressing the bishara in this any general sense. What is the benefit? Yani what is any indicated by this any general indication of bishara? Nah. Huh? Yani it's for the believers, but here he's saying yani. In general, he's keeping it general, he's not specifying it to a particular thing. So what is the benefit of this? Now,
it's not unrestricted, it can be anything.
Okay, it's unrestricted, that means so it includes all of the khair. Yani in this world and in the next life. Yani he means that it's open. It's not limited to a particular matter that a person will be honored with. Rather, by him leaving it general like this, then it means that it includes every good, whether it is in this world or in the next life. Question number four, and give glad tidings to those who believe and do good deeds, that for them are gardens underneath which rivers flow. Yani from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 25th ayah. وَبَشِّرَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. What, discuss the difference between the bishara in this ayat and the bishara in the previous ayat from Surah Al-Saff. Yani in this ayat, وَبَشِّرَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. What is the difference between the bishara in this ayat and the previous ayat? Naam. I'm sorry, Talib.
This one here is specific.
This one is specific. It's muqayyad. It's specific. Because what?
Because
he describes exactly what the bishara is for what? Yani bishara is yani of Jannah. Specific. It's specific here. So it's muqayyad. Naam. And in the previous one it was general without the specification of any particular glad tidings in a particular area. Question number 5. Those who believe and do not mix the iman with dhulm. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُحْتَدُونَ. Yani, those who believe and who do not mix up their iman with dhulm, wrongdoing or shirk, for them is al-amnu, security, and they are rightly guided. Which kind of amnu is indicated in this ayat? Al-mutlaq or al-muqayyad? Explain. Naam, anybody else? طيب فضل فضل فضل.
It's mutlaq.
It's mutlaq.
Yeah, because it's a specific. Yeah.
It's mutlaq because it's specific.
No.
Mutlaq is general, yeah, absolute.
It's general. So
it's general.
Yeah.
Yani he said lahum al amnu. He didn't say in amnu yani safety or security from a particular thing,
right,
in this world or in the next life.
No.
Just he left it open.
No.
Yani al amnu. Yani mutlaqan, safety and security from whatever people fear, danger, evil, whatever in this world and in the next life. Naam. So it's mutlaq, it's general, unspecified. Number 6, mention the author's explanation of al-amnu at-tamu, complete security and safety in the dunya and the akhirah. How has he defined this amnu at-tam in his statement, yani, that we read last week? Yani, that the believers have al-amnu at-tam fi dunya wal-akhirah. And then he explained specifically what he meant by that. He gave some detail. If anybody remembers. Talib.
Yeah, they do not worry about that which will take place in the future. And they also, they do not feel sorrow or regret for that which has passed.
Okay, he mentioned that in one of the ayahs, that yani, they wouldn't have fear of what is ahead of them, and they wouldn't grieve over what passed. So that means that includes this world and the next life. But then he went further to give further details as well. He said that they wouldn't, yani, that they would be, yani, they wouldn't have fear from, yani, the anger or the wrath of Allah and the punishment of Allah that, yani, everyone should fear in the next life. Nor would they, yani, and additionally they would have security from, yani, the things that people fear in this world, the harms and evils of this world. They would also have security from that. Jameel Makari was Shurur. Question number 7. Oh, you believe, fear Allah and believe in His Messenger, He will give you a double portion of His mercy and a light by which you may walk straight, and He will forgive you. In Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 28th Ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَآمِنُوا بِرَسُولِهِ يُؤْتِكُمْ كِفْلَيْنِ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. What are the fruits of Iman in this ayah? Fruits of Iman, more than one. Anyone, one of them. One of them. Naam.
Guidance, al-huda.
Naam?
Al-huda, nur.
Nur, okay, nur. Naam. A light, yani, to walk by. That, it could be, yani, that light could be nur, yani, that a person, yani, is guided by. It could be guidance that a person, yani, is guided by in this world, and it also may mean the actual light when the lights are extinguished on Yawm al-Qiyamah and there's darkness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the believers, yani, light. That's one, the light. And second one, or another?
Forgiveness. Like to walk with that.
Forgiveness, naam. He said He will forgive you your sins. And He also said, yani, before all of that,
double portion
of His mercy, double portion of His rahmah. The last question is a review of what we covered, yani, in this section from previously. Mention 10 of the thamarat, fruits and fawaid, benefits of Iman listed by the author. And other than what we just mentioned, the nur and the double portion and the forgiveness, other than those from before. First thing he mentioned, if anybody remembers in order, first one, or near the wilayah, the special guardianship of Allah. Second one, Ridwan Allah, the pleasure of Allah and His place of honor. Third one, Naam, freedom, yani that complete and perfect iman will prevent yani a person from entering the fire at all. And even any iman will prevent them from remaining in the fire. The fourth one? Allah's protection. Allah will protect the believers. Fifth one? Naam, the good life. At hayat al-tayyibah. Naam. Sixth one? That faith, iman, and ikhlas would be the determining factor for everything that a person says and does. Yani it would determine whether or not it would be accepted, valid, invalid, or to what weight it would carry. Naam. And after that? Seventh? Guidance to the straight path. Naam. Both types of guidance to the straight path. Naam. And the eighth?
The comfort that one gets.
Tasliya, naam, the comfort, the consolation at the time of trials and difficulties and calamities. And after that, what else did we mention?
The love of Allah.
The love of Allah, that He would, yani, would be in the hearts of the believers, and the praise of the believers for the believer, for that person in this world and in the next life, and the dua for them. And also, he said, in that particular fruit, he said, al-imam of al-deen. And also, al-imam of al-deen. And after that, we mentioned
the raising of
a person's ranks, the rif'ah, and we have one more after that?
That's the one we were just talking
about. The one we just talked about now. So these are some of the fruits of iman that the author has mentioned up until now. And from this, yani, if anybody reflects upon them, then it becomes crystal clear of the great importance and the tremendous benefit of al-iman, the tremendous benefits and fruits that the believers hope for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with the fruits of Iman. And I think in the English translation, we're going to be reading from page 77, the top of the page, and page 78. And I think this particular fruit is numbered as number 12. In our Arabic edition, it's numbered as number 11. Now. So, number 11 or number 12 from the fruits of Iman, the author says, وَمِنْ. And by the way, there are a lot of problems with the translation here. A lot of problems with the translation here. But in any case, then he gives the general meaning of what the author mentioned. There are some specifics, and some particular things that I think I'll try to make note of, that and it may not be clear from the translation. مِنْ ثَمَرَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ حُصُولَ الْفَلَاحِ الذي هو إدراك غاية الغايات فإنه إدراك كل مطلوب والسلامة من كل مرحوب. From the fruits of Iman is the attainment or the achievement of Al-Falah, which I think they translated as victory, and it could be translated in different ways, but I prefer to translate it as success. Complete and total success. حصول الفلاح. Success. That the author says, الذي هو إدراك غاية الغايات. Yani it is the achievement. Yani the attainment of the highest objective, the greatest objective. غاية الغايات. الفلاح, it is the achievement of the highest objective, the highest goal that a person can have. Why? فإنه إدراك كل مطلوب والسلامة من kulli marhub, because falah includes the attainment of everything that is desired. Everything that the believer desires, they will attain it. And it also includes as-salamatu min kulli marhub, and being safe and saved from everything that is feared. Al-falah, it is the attainment of everything that is desired. And it is, yani, being saved from everything that is feared. This is the first fruit under this number, حصول الفلاح. And along with it, he mentions another fruit under the same title, والهدى الذي هو أشرف الوسائل. And another fruit from the fruits of Iman that goes with this one, الهدى, guidance, which is the most noble, the most honorable of the وسائل, of the means to achieve success. Yani the greatest means, the best way, the most effective way to achieve success is with al-huda. These are two fruits from the fruits of Iman. The author mentions them together as they came in the Quran and Surah Al-Baqarah together. Allah mentioned them together. These are two fruits. Yani al-huda, as we mentioned previously, the scholars defined it in different ways. From amongst those definitions, al-huda means the knowledge, al-ilm al-sahih, wal-amal bihi, and acting upon it. Having knowledge, correct knowledge, and acting upon it. Having correct knowledge, and as well acting upon it. So these are two fruits that the author mentions here, husul al-falah, yani the attainment of success, yani the attainment of the highest objective, the attainment of everything that's desired, and being saved from everything that's feared. And along with that, al-huda, which is the greatest of all means to achieve. So you will see here that al-falah, as the author is going to explain, is the greatest goal, the greatest objective, al-falah. And the greatest means to achieve it is al-huda. And that's why they go together. He says, كما قال تعالى, يعني, he's saying that this huda, the greatest of means, and this falah, the greatest objective, it is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, بَعْدَ ذِكْرِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, after his mention, or his, yani, تذكير المؤمنين, reminding the believers, بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مَنْ قَبْلَهُ, وَالْإِيمَانِ بِالْغَيْبِ, وَإِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ, وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, اللَّتَيْنِ هُمَا مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَثَارَ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani it is like Allah the Most High said, after he reminded the believers of what has been revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He reminded the believers of what he has revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what has been revealed عَلَى مَنْ قَبْلَهُ, and what has been revealed upon those before him, yani the prophets before him. وَالْإِيمَانِ بِالْغَيْبِ, and having iman in the unseen. And including iman in Allah and the angels and the judgment day and whatever yani is from the unseen, and the establishment of the salat and the fulfillment of zakat. And here he says these two things, as salat was zakat, these two are the greatest results of iman. Yani from the results, the effects of iman are many things. Yani branch out from iman. From the greatest of them is the establishment of the salat and the fulfillment of zakat. So he says, after mentioning, reminding the believers of what he has revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those before him, and yani al iman in the believing in the unseen. After reminding the believers of these things, and also the salat and the zakat. Then he mentions, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the mention of these things, he mentions in the following ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, fifth ayat, those are mentioned in the third and fourth ayat. Yani he didn't quote the ayat, but he mentions what the ayat contains. After the mention of these things, he said, then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That these, yani who believe in the unseen, who establish the salat and the zakat, who believe in what has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the revelations of the prophets before him. These people who have these characteristics of iman and the actions of iman, the greatest of them being salat and zakat, he said these people are upon the huda, the guidance from their Rabb. And these people, ulaika hum, humul muflihun. They and they alone are the successful. And he has limited al-falah to the people who are described here. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So the author is saying to us here, if you go back and read Surah Al-Baqarah, the third and fourth ayat that leads up to the ayat that he mentions here, you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the meaning of which is that they are those who believe in the ghaib, and they establish the salat. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِكُونَ, and they spend from that which we have given them, zakat. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ, and they believe in what has been revealed to you, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, and that which has been revealed before you, yani to the prophets before you, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ, and in the hereafter they have yaqeen, certainty, yani perfect knowledge that doesn't allow for any doubt. that doesn't allow for any doubt. And that certain knowledge, from its effects, is that it necessitates a person to act upon that knowledge. Yani yaqeen necessitates that a person has actions that's in accordance with that knowledge, that certainty. The author, he says here, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْهُدَى التَّامِ وَالْفَلَاحِ الْكَامِلِ. So this is the complete guidance, and this is the perfect success. Yani those people who believe in the revelations, and who establish what is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of actions, salah and zakat. Yani who complete and perfect their iman. They have iman in their heart, and they also express it on their tongue, and then they manifest it in their actions. The actions of the limbs and the actions of the heart. All of that is the completion and perfection of iman. He said, these people, they are the ones who are on guidance, perfect guidance from their Rabb, and these are the people who have complete and perfect success. And then he closes by saying, and by the way, the statement that I just read, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْهُدَى التَّامُ وَالْفَلَاحِ الْكَامِلِ, is not in the English translation. It was omitted. Yani that this is the complete guidance and the perfect success. Then he says, فَلَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى الْهُدَى وَالْفَلَاحِ الَّذَيْنِ لَا صَلَاحَ وَلَا سَعَادَ إِلَّا بِهِمَا إِلَّا بِالْإِمَامِ إيمان التام بكل كتاب أنزله الله وبكل رسول أرسله الله فالهدى أجل الوسائل والفلاح أكمل الغايات. Here the author, he closes this particular point by saying, فلا سبيل, there's absolutely no way to achieve الهدى, to receive الهدى والفلاح. لا سبيل, يعني لا نافي للجنس. Absolutely there's no way that any person can receive this هدى and this فلاح إِلَّا بِالْإِمَانَ التَّامِ, except that the person has complete and perfect iman in every book that Allah has sent down and in every messenger that Allah has sent. And in between that, just so that it's not confused in the meaning of what the Shaykh said, he also mentioned in between that, he said there's no way to huda wal fala. These two things, which without them, al-huda wal fala, without them, there's no salah, there's no righteousness, uprightness. وَلَا سَعَادَ وَحَبِنَسْ إِلَّا بِهِمَا. Yani without huda and falah, you cannot have salah وَسَعَادَ. Yani al-salah, righteousness, cannot be achieved without huda, guidance. And yani al-sa'ada, happiness, cannot be achieved except that a person has falah, yani success in achieving everything that's desired and being protected from the things that people fear. So yani al-salah and al-sa'ada cannot be achieved without al-huda wal-falah, guidance, and yani the success that Allah grants to whoever He wills. And huda wal-falah cannot be achieved except by complete and perfect iman in every book that Allah has revealed and in every prophet that Allah has sent. So iman is the basis of the guidance and success. And they are necessary in order for a person to be upright, to attain righteousness, as-salah, and to attain, yani as-sa'ada. Then the author, he closes by saying, فَالْهُدَى, therefore, الْهُدَى أَجَلُّ الْوَسَائِلِ. So guidance, right guidance, is the most noble of all means to achieve every good. The best of all means is right guidance. وَالْفَلَاحِ أَكْمَلَ الْغَايَاتِ. And falah, the success, the complete, true success, is the most complete and perfect, yani, the greatest of all goals, the greatest of all objectives. It is al-falah. Yani, the greatest objective is al-falah, and the best means to achieve it is by al-huda. These are two of the fruits of al-iman. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. In his commentary on this particular fruit, he says, or these two fruits, he says, وَهَذِهِ كَذَلِكْ ثَمَرَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِنْ ثِمَارُ الْإِيمَانِ حُصُولَ الْفَلَاحِ وَكَذَلِكْ الْهُدَى. Yani, and this is also one of the magnificent fruits from the fruits of Iman. That is the attainment of true success. and likewise the receiving of al-huda, guidance. That, he said, yani that guidance, it is the most noble of the gifts that Allah gives to anyone. And it is the most honorable of all means to achieve success. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined these two fruits of iman in his saying, in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, fifth ayah, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدَىٰ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That these people who are described in the previous ayats, people who have iman, and yani the manifestations of iman, all of its manifestations, these are the people who are upon guidance from their Rabb. And whoever is on other than the path of these people that Allah describes in these ayats, then they are upon misguidance. And because guidance is based upon true iman and all of its manifestations, all the aspects of iman, the branches of iman that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that the branches, that there are more than 70 some odd branches of iman. And the highest of them is saying La ilaha illallah, the statement La ilaha illallah. And the lowest of them is removing something harmful from the road. And also he said Al-haya, yani that modesty is also a branch of iman. The branches of iman are many. The people who have this iman, then they are the people who are upon right guidance. And whoever is on any other path, then they are upon misguidance. The Shaykh says, Al-Falah, this word means in Arabic the full, total achievement of every khair. And it is, as the scholars, the people of knowledge said, أَجْمَعُوا كَلِمَةً قِيلَتْ فِي حِيَازِ الْخَيْرِ. Yani it is the most comprehensive word that has been mentioned to express the total and complete attainment of all khair, al-falah, in this world and in the next life. And for this reason, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, yani from the fruits of iman is the attainment or the achievement of al-falah, which is the attainment of ghayat al-ghayat, yani the greatest, the highest objective. Al-falah, the achievement of the greatest and the highest objective. Since al-falah means that a person achieves, that they attained everything that is desired, and they have been protected and saved from everything that is feared. So this word al-falah, it means yani the attainment of every aspect of khair. And there's no way for any person to achieve al-khair in this world or in the next life except by al-iman. Except by al-iman. Then the Shaykh says, and also from the fruits of iman is the achievement of al-huda, guidance, which is the most noble of all means, yani to achieve success. It is the greatest aid to the person who wants to remain firm upon the truth. Yani a person wants to have thabat upon the truth, they cannot do it without right guidance. So Allah the Blessed and the Most High said, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. These people are upon guidance from their Rabb, and it is these and these alone who are the muflihun, those who are successful. So this is the complete and perfect falah, success, and the complete and perfect huda, guidance. And there's no way to achieve them except by iman. As the author says, rahimahullah, having iman in every book that Allah has sent down and every messenger that Allah has missioned to the people. And therefore, he said, closing, Al-huda ajallu al-wasail. Guidance, it is the most noble, the most majestic of all means to achieve success. And al-falah, yani, it is the most complete and perfect of all goals and objectives. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, so pay attention here to this benefit. The benefit in the statement of the author, rahimahullah, al-huda ajallu wasail. Yani, the guidance is the most noble of all means. Yani he said, it means that it is the most noble, the best, the most effective, the greatest wasila, thing that can be used to help you, yani, to worship Allah, to be obedient to Allah, and to remain firm upon the truth. Yani, it is the most noble means to help you if you are seeking help to worship Allah and to be obedient to Allah and to remain firm upon the truth and to keep oneself distanced from al-ma'asi wal-dhunub, sins and disobedience. So the huda is the most noble of the means to achieve success, and al-falah is the most noble of the objectives, and that is because al-falah, yani, what it means is that a person attains every type of khair, all of it, yani, in this world and in the next life. The author, Al-Imam Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir has a tremendous, yani, explanation of these ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. But it's 2 pages. If we have time in the end, I would like to go back to the last ayat of what he said concerning this in his tafsir and the points that he brought. But if not, then Allahu musta'an. We'll have to live without it. But in any case, you can always go back to the tafsir and read it on your own time. And by the way, we have the full tafsir of Sa'di here in the masjid, right? MashaAllah, on the shelf there. After this, the author, he says, يعني, the next fruit, the 12th, or in the English translation, 13th fruit of Iman, من ثمرات الإيمان. الانتفاع بالمواعظ والتذكير والآيات. يعني, from the fruits of Iman is that a person is given success in benefiting. They are giving the ability to benefit. And he mentions 3 things here. In the English translation, they only mention 2 of them. To benefit from al-mawa'idh, yani, admonition or exhortations. Yani, when a person encourages somebody to do something good for the reward of Allah, or discourage them, warn them from doing something to escape from the punishment of Allah. Yani, mawa'idha. Wa-tadhkir, and reminders. Yani, you remind one another. For example, by reciting an ayat of the Qur'an, remind somebody with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an. The believer, because of their iman, they benefit from these reminders. Well, ayat, and the ayat of Allah. The believer benefits from the ayat of Allah. Whether we mean the ayat in the Qur'an that we read from the mushaf, or the ayat in the creation that we experience in life, that we see around us. All of these are signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the believer takes a lesson from, reflects upon, and then acts in accordance with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a sign for. This is from the fruits of Iman. The believer benefits from these things, not the person who doesn't have Iman. Qala ta'ala, Allah the Most High says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 55th Ayat, 51, 55, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers, the people of Iman. Remind, we are commanded to remind, because the reminder benefits the people who have Iman. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, I just want to mention this as a note, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir has a tremendous one sentence kalima on this ayat here, remind, for indeed, al-dhikra tanfa al-mu'mineen. The dhikra benefits the mu'mineen. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said, أي إنما تنتفع بها القلوب المؤمنة. يعني that verily, indeed, the benefit, that the one that will benefit, the who benefits from this, he said, only القلوب المؤمنة, only the believing hearts, the hearts of the people of Iman. إنما تنتفع بها, يعني from the ذكر. The benefit from it is for al-qulub al-mu'mina, the hearts that have iman. So the hearts that don't have iman, they don't benefit. Another scholar said, Yani that the believers who benefit, he said, they are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that they believe. Meaning the true believers. Not everybody who claims to believe benefits from the reminder. But Allah knows who has iman. And those who have iman, then indeed, they benefit. The Shaykh, he mentions another ayah, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That indeed in that which is mentioned before this, is a sign, yani a lesson to be learned for the believers. Yani the ayat of Allah in the Quran or in the creation are lessons, yani are instructions that the believers benefit from, that the believers take heed to. The Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, Al-Imam Sa'di, he says, وَهَذَا لِأَنَّ يعني why is it that the believers benefit from the dhikra? Why is it that the believers يعني take note of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why is it that the believers are those who it is a sign for? It's not a sign for everyone else. Not that it's not a sign for everyone, it's a sign for everyone. Whoever would take heed. But the only people that are going to take heed are the people who have iman. He said, this is because لِأَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَحْمِلُ and here also there's like some very strange any expressions in the translation of Allahu Musta'an. I have to say this because I want you to understand, not because we want to criticize somebody, because everybody who translates, any every person who has experience in translating know that we are all defective and we all make mistakes. Because perfection is only for Allah. But the point is the errors here in the translation actually distort the meaning completely. That's the problem. And if it was just a choice of word, everybody choose whatever word they think is best. That's okay. We differ in our choice of words. But the meaning here is completely different. Some of it is left out completely and some of it is twisted and turned. And some of it is just defined and translated in a different way that's not there in the Arabic at all. Why is it that the mu'mineen, they are the people who this is a sign for, that the reminder benefits? This is because al-iman yahmilu sahibahu ala al-tizami al-haq wa tiba'ihi ilman wa amalan. So he mentions six things. This is the first of them. Yani why is it that the believers benefit? Number one, because iman motivates, pushes, causes the person who has iman to adhere firmly to the truth and to follow it. Iman requires the person who has iman to adhere to the truth and to follow the truth. Ilman wa amalan. Yani to have knowledge of the truth and to act upon the truth. وَكَذَلِكَ مَعَ الْآلَ وَمَعَهُ. In another printing of the Arabic, it has مَعَهُ with the pronoun, and I think that's more correct. Here the pronoun is absent, but I think it's more correct. وَكَذَلِكَ مَعَهُ يعني مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِ مَعَهُ الْآلَةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. Yani the great, tremendous instrument. Al-ala is an instrument, a tool. Yani what is the greatest tool that the believer has? It is the heart. The tool, the instrument that Allah has given us is the heart, the pure heart, the heart that is not corrupted. As the Prophet ﷺ said, and we heard it in the khutbah today, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُدْغَةٌ. Yani there is a piece of, yani an organ or a piece of flesh in the body, that if it is whole, the whole body is whole. And if it is corrupted, the whole body is corrupted. This is the great organ, the great instrument that the believer has, a pure heart. If that heart is pure, this also is the reason for a person to benefit from the reminder, from the signs, from the exhortation or admonition. وَكَذَلِكَ مَا هُوَ الْآلَةَ الْعَظِيمَةِ. Yani the heart, the pure heart, the heart that's filled with iman and taqwa. والاستعداد للتلقي المواعظ النافعة والآيات الدالة على الحق. And the third thing that the believer has that enables them to benefit from the reminders and from the signs and from the exhortations and admonitions is that they have istidad, readiness. They are prepared. They have readiness to accept, to receive al-mawa'iz an-nafi'ah wal-ayat ad-dala 'ala al-haq, to receive the beneficial admonitions and exhortations. They are ready to receive it. They are open and willing to accept it. Not everybody is ready to accept. the exhortation, the admonition, the reminder. Not everybody's ready for this. But this is something that the believer has, their readiness. Because iman prepares you to accept the reminder. And the signs, the ayat, that point to the truth, they have readiness, isti'adad. They are prepared to receive them, to accept them. The fourth thing, وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ مَانِعٌ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنْ قَبُولُ الْحَقِّ وَلَا مِنْ الْعَمَلْ بِهِ. Two things he mentioned here. This is the fourth one. وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ مَانِعٌ. The believer doesn't have any mania. It doesn't have a prohibitive factor that prevents them from accepting the truth, nor do they have any prohibitive factor that prevents them from acting upon it. And these are two things. There's nothing that prevents the believer from accepting the truth, nor is there anything that prevents them from acting upon it. Because a person could accept the truth and not act upon it. A person could act upon what's right without accepting the truth. And the hypocrites pray, right? They act upon it, but they don't accept the truth. So here he's saying that the believer, he doesn't have that which prevents him from accepting the truth, nor what prevents him from acting upon it. Yani, what prevents a person from accepting the truth? The greatest thing that prevents a person from accepting the truth or acting upon it is kufr and shirk. As well as inhiraf, deviation, or bid'ah, innovation, or kibr, pride and arrogance. All of these are things that prevent a person from accepting the truth and prevent a person from acting upon it. The believer doesn't have this. And then he says, وَعِذًا. And also, in this, yani, point here of from the fruit of iman is al-intifa, that the believer benefits from the yani dhikr, the reminder, benefits from the ayat, benefits from the maw'idha, the exhortation and admonition. Also he said, فَالْإِمَانْ يُوجِبُ سَلَامَةِ الْفِطْرِ. Yani the iman necessitates سَلَامَةِ الْفِطْرِ, that the natural inclination, the nature of the person, yani will be safe. Yani would be protected. The fitrah that we are created upon. Every human being is created upon the fitrah. The nature that Allah created the human being upon. The inclination to tawheed. And the rejection of shirk. Iman necessitates that fitrah remains safe and protected. And this enables the person to accept the truth. To accept the reminder. To recognize the signs. Because their fitrah is intact. That's the fifth thing. And the sixth thing he says, وَحُسْنَ يعني وَالْإِمَانْ يُجِبُ سَلَامَةِ الْفِطْرَةِ وَحُسْنَ الْقَصْدِ. And that iman also necessitates يعني good intentions, pure intentions, which is necessary, pure intentions. The person has to have the right intention to be enabled to accept يعني the reminder, and to accept the exhortation and admonition, and to recognize the signs, and to yani take the lesson in them and to act upon them. So these are six things that he mentioned, that iman, the person who has iman, this helps them to recognize and to accept the reminders. And the second of them is the pure heart. And the third of them is their readiness to accept the admonition when it comes to them. Some people, if you admonish them about something, they tell you, ibad anni, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. Doing my own thing. Doing me, you do you, or whatever they used to say. Or they may still say. Yani, what? Isti'adad, readiness to accept the admonition. And the fourth of them is that the believer doesn't have that thing which prevents him from accepting the truth. They don't have kufr, they don't have shirk. They're not involved in bid'ah, deviation. They are not too proud or arrogant to accept the truth. And the fifth of them is that, yani, the protection and the safety of the nature that the human being has been created upon, and good intention. The author, he says, وَمَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ انْتَفَعَ بِالْآيَاتِ. So whoever has these things, whoever is like that, then they will benefit from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reminders and the admonitions and the exhortations. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَلِكَ. And whoever is not like that, as just described, فَلَا يُسْتَغْرَبْ عَدَمْ قَبُولِهِ لِلْحَقِّ وَاتِّبَاعِهِ لَهُ. then you should not find it strange from that person that he doesn't accept the truth. Or that he doesn't يعني follow it. ولهذا يذكر الله في سياق تمنع الكافرين من تصديق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقبول الحق الذي جاء به. For this reason, Allah mentions in the context of the reason why the disbelievers are prevented from confirming the truthfulness of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why they are prevented from accepting the truth that he came with. Why they are prevented from confirming the truthfulness of the Messenger, and why they are prevented from accepting the truth that he brought. Allah mentions in this context, السبب الذي أوجب لهم ذلك, the reason that necessitated from them to reject the Messenger and to reject the truth that he brought, هو الكفر الذي في قلوبهم. يعني the reason that prevented them from believing in the Messenger and accepting what he brought is the kufr that's in their hearts. يعني لأن الحق واضح. Meaning, the truth is clear. وَآيَاتُهُ بَيِّنَةً وَاضِحَةً. And the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are evident. They are clear and plain. So if the truth is clear and the ayat are clear, what prevented them from accepting it? Kufr in their qulub. Indeed, there's no reason for them to reject it. It's clear. It's not like we don't understand. It's not like we don't know. Yani, it's being offered to them and it's crystal clear. So what is it that prevents them from accepting it? Yani the kufr that's in their hearts. وَالْكُفْرَ أَعْظَمُ. And here this also is, I think, is that the end of the translation? Okay, so it goes on, the author goes on to say, no, I'm saying we're still in 13. We're still in this point. He goes on to say, I'm just trying to remember, like this also was omitted from the translation. The final statement, the author says, وَالْكُفْرُ أَعْظَمُ مَانِعٍ يَمْنَعُ مِنْ اتِّبَاعِهِ أي فَلَا تَسْتَغْرِبُوا هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَمْ تَزَلْ دَعْبَ كُلِّ كَافِرٍ. So it is this belief that is the greatest prohibitive factor that prevents someone from following the truth. Therefore, don't think it strange. Don't be amazed by this condition that people are offered the clear truth and they don't accept it. Don't be, yani, don't find this strange, because kufr is the greatest thing that prevents a person from accepting the truth. فَإِنَّهَا لَمْ تَزَلْ دَعْبَ كُلِّ كَافٍ. Because it never ceased to be, yani, the way of the disbelievers, that they reject the truth. Yani, this is still the way of the disbelievers, of the old times and the disbelievers of today. This is their way, that they reject the clear, plain truth that's crystal clear. How much time for the 15 minutes? Tight. So, we just have a few notes here, and inshallah I'm not going to go up to the Iqamah. But by the way, last week we mentioned, inshallah, that we'll bring some dates, but inshallah we have dates. So anyway, we still brought some dates. So please take your dates and eat the dates from the masjid as well. The Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he says in his commentary concerning this particular point, this is a magnificent fruit from the fruits of Iman that points to the greatness of the station of Iman and the highness and the magnitude of the importance of Iman. Yani that Iman, from its fruits, is that it affects a person in such a way that they benefit from exhortations and admonitions, and they benefit from reminders by the signs of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani this fruit points to the magnificent station, the status of Iman, because from its fruits is that people benefit from the reminder, and they benefit from the admonition, and they benefit from the signs of Allah. As far as the person who is not, doesn't have iman, then how many signs may pass by them? How many things they may witness, lessons that they see or that they are present for, and they didn't benefit from it, they didn't take heed from it at all. Therefore, it is a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla upon those who have iman in their heart that they are affected by the admonition and that they benefit from the exhortation, and that it will have a tremendous effect on their soul. Yani these signs and these admonitions and these reminders. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the ayat that the Shaykh mentions, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the people who have iman. And Allah goes on to say in the ayah following that, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Yani remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. And you have not, the jinn and the men have not been created except to worship Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran in another place, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَ لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. Indeed, that is a reminder for the one who has a heart. And a heart that is alive. وَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٌ. And remind by the Quran the one who fears my threat, the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the exhortation, the admonition, the reminder, the sign, not everyone benefits from it. Rather, there are some people who hear it, who hear a tremendous, effective, maw'idha, exhortation, reminder, admonition, a tremendous speech. They hear, and it shakes the hearts. But for them, it doesn't affect them. Rather, they laugh at it, and they mock at it. Nothing of it enters their heart, in spite of the effectiveness of the admonition or what was said. And the reason for this is fasad al-mahal. Yani that the place where the admonition is to be received is corrupted. The heart is corrupted. Fasad al-mahal. And for this reason they didn't benefit. And rather the only one who benefits from these things by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has iman in his heart. And likewise, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expanded his breast to iman and to the acceptance of the admonition to benefit from it. Otherwise, the maw'idha wouldn't benefit anyone if they didn't have iman. And that's why Allah said, remind, for indeed, the remind the prophets, those who believe. And the Shaykh says here, فتخصيص المؤمنين بانتفاع بالذكر دليل على أن من سواهم لا ينتفعوا. The fact that Allah has singled out the believers to be that they are the ones who benefit from a reminder is an indication and a proof that other than the believers will never benefit from it. And for this reason, this is a fruit from the fruits of iman. That every time a reminder, an admonition, a sign passes by the believer, it increases them in iman and it strengthens their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh goes on to say, and we have mentioned previously the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَى رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And we mentioned this previously, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when a surah, a chapter of the Quran is revealed, some of them, the hypocrites, they say, which one of you has had his iman increased by this? And who benefited from this? He didn't benefit from it at all, because the heart, the place to receive the benefit, is corrupted. As far as those who believe, it increased them in iman and they rejoice. And as for those who have sickness in their heart, then it is only increased and they die upon kufr. The author rahimahullah said, the reason why only the believers benefit is because iman is that which motivates the person who has it to stick to the truth and to follow it. And this is from the fruits of iman. Yani that every time a person hears the truth, every time that they invited to the truth, every time they came to know the truth, then that which is in their heart of iman pushes them to act upon that truth and to fulfill what it requires. As far as the one who didn't have iman in his heart, there's nothing there to motivate him, to push him to act upon the truth. So he hears it, the mawidah reaches him, but there's nothing inside to push him, to move him, to motivate him to act upon it. And this is why there's no benefit for the people who don't have iman. Even though they hear the truth, they learn the truth, they see it. And that is because al-intifa' bil-ilm ghayr al-ilm. Benefiting from the knowledge is different than from the knowledge. The knowledge is one thing and benefiting from it is another thing altogether. Some of the people have the knowledge. Didn't Allah say, يعني المغضوب عليهم, the people who had the knowledge, but they didn't act upon it. يعني the Yahud. And it has come in the dua of the Prophet ﷺ that he said, Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una. O Allah, teach us that which will benefit us. That's knowledge. وَانْفَعْنَا بِمَا عَلَّمْتَنَا. And make us to benefit from that which you have taught us. So the benefiting is one thing and the knowledge is another thing. Not everybody that has knowledge benefits from it. So that a person benefits from the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, this is a fruit from the fruits of iman, yani the iman that's in the heart. That iman that motivates, pushes a person by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to action. And the last thing that the Shaykh says here, Allahumma istaan. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرِ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and he remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned after this ayat, the next ayat, he mentions the greatest thing with which people should be reminded of. So when Allah made clear the greatness of the benefit of the reminder to the believers, He also brought to our attention and made clear to us what is the greatest thing that people should be reminded of. Yani, it is the ghaya, the objective, the purpose for which the human being has been created. The objective for which we have been brought into existence. Yani, remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. It is as though it was said, so what is the most important thing that people should be reminded of? And Allah followed it by saying, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Yani the human being, the jinn and the human, they have not been created for any purpose except the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the very objective, the purpose, the goal for which people have been created, brought into existence, yani for the actualization or the realization of, it is the tawheed of Allah. It is ikhlas ad-deen lahu, making the deen purely for Allah alone. وَإِفْرَادُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالْعِبَادَةِ, and singling out Allah alone for worship, and declaring ourselves to be free from ash-shirk and the people of shirk. This is the greatest affair that it is incumbent that the ibad be reminded of, and that is because it is the foundation of an-najat, salvation. And it is the foundation of al-falah wa-sa'ada, success and happiness in this world and in the next life. Naam. We're going to stop here, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any question about what we said tonight or any clarification or any comment or correction, we'll take a minute, inshallah. Naam.
The first of the six benefits or the points that makes one
benefit from the mawaidah, from the dhikr, is iman.
Iman.
The first thing he said is iman. No. That the iman is what motivates a person to adhere to the truth and to follow it and to act upon it. Iman. And then also the heart, the pure heart. Yani the heart that is ready, yani that is pure enough to receive the admonition, and then followed by the other things that he mentioned. Yani from those things that are also helpful for the person to accept the truth and to act upon it. Jazakumullah khair wa barakallahu feekum.